I speak to you in the name of God, the Maker, the Lover, the Breath of Life. Amen. When God acts, it doesn't begin with a shout of triumph. It begins with an astonished silence. Like Nanabush standing on the mountain, pondering how to create a new world. Like creation's first moment, when there was nothing. Like the brooding silence of a pillar of fire that plunged the Egyptians into panic. Like the rapt attention of the prophet Ezekiel, waiting for God to reveal his will and fulfill his promise. And into those silences, God speaks words that change everything. Like, let there be light, fashioning everything out of nothing. Like, stretch your hand over the sea, paving the way to freedom for the Israelites. Or like he said to Ezekiel, a new heart I will give you, calling us, his children, home once more. That's where the vigil always begins. Astonished silences out of which God speaks and changes everything. And the task of the church as she holds vigil this night is to stand with three women who arrive at an empty tomb in an astonished silence. In other words, in the beginning, we have nothing to say. But there's a sense in which the vigil has ended. Christ is risen. The tomb is empty. And from that emptiness, we gather the wrappings of 2,000 years worth of proclamation about what it means, the resurrection, and try to make sense of it. I'm more comfortable with that now, living with the ambiguity of the resurrection and struggling every day of my life to fill an empty tomb with meaning, to figure out what difference it makes. I guess I've lost my taste for certainty. Like this image behind me, I live both in faith's light and doubt's shadow. It's the reason why this gospel, Mark's gospel, moves me so. Because of all the gospels, Mark's is the most faithful to the human experience of struggling to find meaning in an empty tomb. I believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. I believe that we also will rise in the fullness of time. And I think that Mark believed that too. But I think what Mark wants us to struggle with is not so much how the empty tomb changed death, but how much it is supposed to change our lives. We don't hear the proclamation, death has been conquered, and then wait around until we die to prove that it's true. No. We are called to live. Live as though the resurrection of Jesus makes a difference. Live as though it fills our lives with meaning now. Don't you see? The resurrection isn't just about Jesus' new life. It's about a new life for us all. However the power of sin or death or darkness or doubt or despair may have taken hold of us, whatever tomb of grief or pain or guilt we feel imprisoned by. That's what Paul means when he writes, "Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in newness of life." We spend time in the tomb as well, even before we die, don't we? It's an especially poignant proclamation for us as we descend into another lockdown of rising case counts and probably rampant death all over the world. In other words, resurrection can't just be an idea for us, some belief that we cling to because it makes us feel safe. Resurrection has to live in us. In this past year, we have lost so much that sometimes doesn't it feel as though nothing will ever be the same again? Well, it won't be. Death always leaves its mark. It marked the hands and feet of Jesus, and those marks were there for all to see after he rose. It's the same for us. Every painful experience leaves us changed. But resurrection isn't about going back to the way things were before. It's not about restoring what was, but beginning anew. In other words, the women who went to the tomb didn't find Jesus there, because the living God doesn't hang around in tombs. We like to, though, don't we? We spend so much time there, grieving our losses, nursing our wounds, or looking back nostalgically, wishing things could just go back to the way they were before everything changed. But that's not where the risen Christ is. Mark's gospel tells us he is not here. He's going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you. And that's what fills the empty tomb with meaning for everyone this Easter, especially those of us who are longing for new life. Jesus isn't hovering around a distant tomb waiting for us to arrive in sorrow and heartache. As the women were told, he's gone ahead of you to Galilee. In other words, in the resurrection, Jesus meets us not just when we die, but where we live. The resurrection life of Jesus gives meaning to every empty tomb experience of our lives, every instance of struggling and striving, meeting us in the midst of our terror and amazement, and calling us home. So, if you have strayed from the path, Jesus isn't there condemning you. The one who forgives has gone on ahead of you, waiting for you to return. If you are nursing a resentment right now, Jesus isn't there encouraging it. The one who reconciles has gone on ahead of you to prepare the way so that you might find peace. And even when death itself calls you, Jesus isn't there. The risen one has gone on ahead to prepare a place for you. And that's what we celebrate tonight. He is not here. He is risen. He's gone on ahead. Not to heaven yet, but first to Galilee, to where we live, just as he told us. Amen.